Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Katie Weaver Show. This is Katie, I'm your host. I'm so happy to be here. If you are listening live, it is the 29th of October at about 11 a.m. Pacific time. If you're listening to an archive or a replay, I also want to welcome you to the show. I want to let you know we're over in the chat room. You can find that by heading over to 12radio.com, click on the chat button, and you'll be redirected into the Facebook chat. I'm also live streaming this event. If you'd rather watch than listen, you can do that by heading over to Facebook or YouTube and look for Katie Weaver Domestic Mystic. And there you go. That's all the housekeeping. How are you? I'm seeing you guys funneling into the chat rooms. I do want to let you know that if you are in our Facebook chat or you are in one of the YouTube or Facebook live chats, either way, I have eyes on all of them. My software lets me do that. So comment, ask questions, join the conversation, say hello. I'd love to see you over here. So I'm glad to see you all coming in. And of course, happy Halloween, right? Sid said happy Halloween week. Thank you so much. I'm so excited because we are hosting our family Halloween party this year. So typically we have, for years, many years now, we've gone to my sister Kara's house because, well, partly because she actually gets trick-or-treaters and we don't. But I'm going to try and change that this year. But also, she has had little kids who is still trick-or-treated. And I haven't had kids who trick-or-treated for a long time.
But
the baby of the family is now 15 and is not trick-or-treating this year, and nobody else is. And so it was decided that because Scott and I love Halloween the most and our yard is done up to the nines, I'll still share a video. I haven't done it yet. That in truth, it would be okay for us to host the Halloween party. So I'm very excited. So I am going to post in some local groups and invite people to come trick-or-treat here. Because, yeah, it's kind of crazy how much we love Halloween and that we always do our yard up big and stuff. And then we don't actually get trick-or-treaters, which is kind of dumb. But around here, people decided to get, quite a few years ago, they decided to get a lot more invested in doing trunk-or-treats. It's just more efficient, unfortunately. I know that sounds bananas, but that's the truth of it. It's more efficient to trunk or treat, and I think that's why people started doing that. When you all meet up in the church parking lot and you throw your kids' costumes on and you decorate the trunk of your minivan and all the kids in an hour walk around and get more candy than they can carry and you can call it a day, I guess a lot of parents just thought that was, well, more efficient. To me, trick-or-treating, it wasn't about the candy at all. It was about the fun, you know? It was about running around, doing fun things, and having a blast, and going to visit various family members that wanted you to come trick-or-treat them, that had a treat for the kids, or, you know, things of that nature. Like, trick-or-treating was super fun. Oh, boy. Sorry, hold on. I'm sorry. I'm having dog drama today. At any rate. Yes, Laurie, that's what a trunk or treat is. Yeah. A lot of like businesses have started doing that too, where you can like, you know, they set up a big trunk or treat in a parking lot and parents are getting, you know, business paraphernalia and kids are getting candy. And again, so efficient, right? But that's not the fun of it for me at all. So I don't know. We'll see. Maybe we'll get some trunk-or-treaters or trick-or-treaters, not trunkers. Trick-or-treaters, and maybe we won't. When trunk-or-treats got big here, my kids would go trick-or-treat our street and our neighbors would be like, oh, sorry, honey, we gave out all of our candy at the trunk-or-treat. And we didn't go to the trunk-or-treat. So, yeah. Anyway. Quit ruining Halloween, for God's sake. It's not supposed to be efficient. It's supposed to be fun. And it shouldn't have to be about your kids all getting more candy than they can eat in a month of Sundays either. Yeah. So, anyway, that's my little rant. Anyway, so I'm excited, though, because we are hosting the Halloween party. So I've been working on coming up with, like, a fun drink and what food I want to do. And, yeah, I'm going to totally have fun with this. I love it. You know how it goes. You know how it goes around here. We can't just be normal. Anyway, a fun thing that happened to me is that my true crime podcast that I do with Christy, over the weekend, we hit 1 million listens on Spotify, which was pretty fun. Super fun. That's exciting as hell. But adding, because we have two facets of the podcast. We had one that was specifically for Dave Valvallo that we still update. And then, of course, our regular podcast. And then the podcast that's on Spotify versus the one that's on YouTube, which are the same, but there's, you know, different listeners. Anyway, so to boil it all down, that put us very close to 3 million listens over the board. So that's super exciting. Their dad's not home to keep them in line. Apparently, they're just going to make me pay for it. I think in bigger places, trunk or treats were for safety reasons. Where I live, that's not the case at all. Yeah, but I can see that in bigger cities for sure. But yeah, in little tiny rural Idaho, that wasn't the point. Yeah. It was actually, unfortunately, to make it about church, which everything here is about church. Yeah. Hey, Lillian and Suzanne. Good to see everybody coming in. Anyway, so that's exciting news. Nearly 3 million listens between our three podcasts. So I'm super excited for that and kind of overwhelmed. Kind of. Just excited. But it definitely makes you think, like, you should be careful about what you say and be sure that what you're saying is accurate and correct and always have integrity and do the right thing, because you don't know who's listening to you. And it's a lot of people, apparently. So kind of fun. Kind of daunting. A good reminder to stay humble and not be a dumbass, right? Because the internet is forever. Okay. Well, I do have a piggy video for you. Miss Fiona came in. It's getting cold, so the pigs are in the house quite a bit more. And she came in yesterday, and I thought it would be a good time to get a good look at that beautiful coat she has this year and also just show off her fancy dancing skills. So here you go. Okay, just showing off Fiona. Look at her pretty coat. She put this beautiful mohawk in over the summer. She doesn't want to show because she wants a snack. She can have a snack. Look how shiny and pretty her coat is. I am begging her not to blow her coat like she usually does in the fall, but she never listens, so she probably will. You want to do a piggy dance? Come on, let's go. Come on. Do a fancy piggy dance for me. Good job. Good. You want to do it again? Let's go. Come on, do a fancy piggy dance. Atta girl. Okay. One more. All right, one more. Oh, you'll have to do your dance. Let's go. Great job. That's Fiona with a little cameo from Luca, who, of course, was standing by to see what was going to happen. I tried to get a similar video of Zigzag, and honestly, it was just a disaster, so I didn't share it. He did a bunch of squealing and bitching at the dogs that were standing too close to him, and he refused to dance, and then the dogs got in on it, and it was just a mess, and I went, nah, fuck it. Maybe we'll do a video of Zig next week, when the dogs are not present, because they ruin everything for him. Poor Zig. Mm-hmm. Luca was for sure wanting a treat, too, and rest assured, he got one. But it was cracking me up because every time she circled to do her dance, she was basically just bumping him out of the way with her hips. And seems like the only way to live, right? But that coat, I put him on a special supplement this last summer because their coats looked terrible. Their skin looked awful this spring. And their coats didn't look good. And now, man, they both just slicked up. They look gorgeous. Unfortunately, she does a weird thing and blows her coat in the fall. And then she'll blow it in the spring. She blows it twice a year. Zig only blows his coat in the spring. So he'll keep growing. That his mohawk will be like this long by the time spring comes, and it's hilarious and so cute and funny. I just wish she would not blow her coat in the fall. I know, I'm fighting nature here, which is insane. But I just want her to knock that off. Anyway. Oh, yeah. But yes, anytime the pigs come in for a treat, the dogs think that they are getting one too. And like, what do you do, right? I have a ridiculous sense of fairness with the animals. So if one person or one piggy or one dog gets something, they are all getting something. I know. I think my sense of fairness and justice is much stronger than theirs. But I could have a dog asleep under a pile of blankets on the couch and I'll wake them up and be like, hi, everyone else had a snack, so here's yours. I'm ridiculous. I need professional help. That's probably true. As Sid said, her coat must be affected by the shifting sun and hormones. The shifting sun, I'm guessing. He only blows his in the spring. And when Zig blows his coat, he goes naked. Completely naked. Fiona does too, but she has black skin. So she doesn't look as naked as Zig does, because he has like pale white skin. So when he goes naked, man, he is naked. Fee looks a little more dressed. But we'll see. I'm really hoping that she keeps that coat on until spring. She actually did. Her first couple of years of life, she didn't blow her coat in the fall. She only blew it in the spring. And then the last couple of years, she started doing it both times. And I wish she wouldn't. So who knows? Maybe all my hoping, wishing, nagging, demanding will get me somewhere. Probably not. But we can hope. Well, we're talking, of course, about All Hallows Eve today because, Halloween is on Thursday. So I'm curious to know, do you ever have any big plans, anything you're doing? How do you spend Halloween? I'm curious to know. It occurred to me today that I have not watched a single of my favorite Halloween movies yet this year. A single one! But to be honest, I am super wiped out today. Hey, Rico, we're on the air. Super tired today for some reason. So, because I know why, because I'm autoimmune, right? But I've been a firecracker this whole last week, so it's okay. It's fine. But I think I'm going to take a down day once I get off the show. I do have another podcast today, too. But other than that, I think I'm going to cuddle up in the mama chair with the dogs and watch Halloween movies. Seems like today's the day. What's wrong with that, right? Okay. Sherry's going to hand out candy. Well, good. Practical Magic, it's on my list, man. What is on your must-watch list at Halloween? Is it scary movies or not? For me, it's not. I don't do scary movies at all. It's my Halloween favorites. Practical Magic, definitely, Pamela. All of the Halloween Towns, Twitches. These are movies that I watched with my kids for a million years. And every year at Halloween, my college kids get sad. I wish I was just home watching Halloween movies with you this weekend. Yeah. Yes, Hocus Pocus, Red and Done. Yes, absolutely. Hocus Pocus is on the list. Oh, Renee's already been watching Halloween movies. Nice. I don't know what I've been doing. Well, I do, but Laurie's going to spend Halloween dancing and studying spirituality in an online class. Nice. I love this conversation about Halloween movies because it's so different. Because some people, those are like horror movies, right? Oh, The Addams Family. Oh, Reddington, you are going to make my list for me. I love it. Rocky Horror. Okay, yeah, yeah, I'll give you that. Okay. I'm going to jump in the other chat room, make sure I'm not neglecting anybody. Oh, hey, Denise and Quelly. Yes, dog drama, Quelly, right? Good Lord. These dogs are drama. Pamela can't do horror movies. Oh, no. Mm-mm. You guys, I'm the biggest wimp. The biggest. When I was a kid, the Disney movie, Watcher in the Woods, absolutely ruined my life. If ever a day came that I had to walk home from school by myself, I was an absolute basket case, scared to death. That's not even a scary movie. That Haley Joel Osment movie where he says, "I see dead people." Oh, for God's sake. That about undid me. Those movies aren't that scary, but oh, I'm a wimp. Sleepy Hollow. Oh, yeah. Honestly, a lot of times this fall, I will watch the whole Sleepy Hollow series again. Do you guys remember the Sleepy Hollow series? God, it was so good. I'll get in the mood to watch that and Grimm. I've been watching a little bit of Grimm. Yeah. Did you remember Grimm? God, Grimm was good too. Yeah. But Sleepy Hollow, thanks for saying that. Poor Scott. I'm going to take over this TV. I don't watch TV very often because I don't have time. But, you know, sometimes you just have to make time. That's it. Laura said I had an all-day nose work trial on Friday and have to be there by 8 a.m. So Thursday is going to be a mellow day. No one comes to my house anyway. Yeah. Sixth Sense. Thank you, Suzanne, for naming it. Yeah, the Sixth Sense scared the crap out of you. Oh, yeah, me too. Oh, dear God. Mm-hmm. And I'll never forget this because it was my dad and Scott were out of town hunting. They were on a camping trip, a hunting trip. And so my mom and I were like, hey, we should go to a movie. Micah was a baby, a brand new baby, or a little baby. So we loaded up Micah. We go to the movie. It was scary as hell. Scared the shit out of me. And then I had to come home to my empty, husbandless house and with the baby and sleep here with the dogs by myself. And I was a mess. And you know how if you are feeling spooky and jumpy, your dogs are too? So, and your cats, they'll start acting like something's wrong because you're acting like something's wrong, which makes you think there's something wrong. And it's a vicious circle. Yep. Pamela, I said, oh, Sleepy Hollow and Grimm. G-R-I-M. Grimm. Oh, you guys. Grimm is so good. Yeah, Quelly said it's one of her favorite TV shows ever. Me too. I also love that it was filmed in the Pacific Northwest because a lot of things are shot more East Coast. If you're a West Coaster, you feel like that. Everything that is, you know, every movie, every show is based on some big city on the East Coast, eastern part of the country. I loved this one because it's out of Portland. And I don't know if I've ever seen a TV series that was shot out of Portland, but anyway, love it. Yeah. JR said she used to watch horror movies. Now she'll watch thrillers from time to time. Yeah. I'm ridiculous. I know. But... And I'm not as big as a wimp as I used to be, but dear God, I'm still a chicken. I can admit it. All right, well, let's get ready to share Luminous because I did some fun stuff for you guys for Halloween. Oh, I did have one more picture to share with you, actually, because I'm trying to do better. Right, I'm a medium. I do see dead people. Right. But Sixth Sense was back when I hadn't really embraced my gifts. And so I did see dead people, but I was scared to death of them. And then in come the Sixth Sense, which tricked me the whole show and completely fucked me up. Yeah. Suzanne said seeing The Exorcist as a kid ruined me for scary movies. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. Indeed. Okay, one more picture. I already put it in the chat room, but I just had a really good pic of Nellie I wanted to share. So in case you're wondering what our big puppy looks like these days, you know, she's almost a year and a half now. She's not a puppy, but my God, does she act like one. So there's puppy Nell. Isn't she cute? She is such a pretty dog. And I'm telling you, she's very sensitive. She gets her feelings hurt really easy. Oh my goodness. But isn't she pretty? She's a pretty, pretty girl. Nobody can bring a big stick in through the piggy door and lay on the couch and chew it up quite like Nell. Oh, JR said, what's the one on the cover of a girl touching the TV screen? Ooh, I don't know. I don't know. And you would think, too, considering that I do podcast and study true crime, that I wouldn't be as squeamish as I can be. But honestly, it's the supernatural thrillers that I think are the scariest. Okay. Right, it's a classic Basset pose, yes. And in fact, the older she gets, the more those front paws like turn in like this and her ankles touch. And that's a really classic Basset stance. Okay. Oh, Red and Dunn said that is poltergeist. Ooh, yes, poltergeist is very scary. Yeah. Okay. Well, obviously, I did a Halloween-y kind of cover. I mean, next week I'm going to have to change all of the art because I have hit Halloween hard this year. On purpose, because I wanted to. All right. Well, in my notes for me, so last Wednesday, we drove to Salt Lake and bought a new car, which was kind of happened fast. But Scott inherited my dad's truck when my dad died 11 years ago, and he's been driving it ever since. And we love this truck, but the engine knock just keeps getting louder. And it's pretty obvious that at some point here, this truck's going to punk out on us. And Scott drives his truck for home inspections for his job. And that would be a real hardship because essentially this truck needs to just have the motor rebuilt. It's just time. There's a lot of miles on it. It's been very, very good to us over the years. And it's always meant a lot to both of us that we had my dad's truck because it meant a lot to him. And so I don't want to sell this truck. I will never sell this truck. I don't want to trade it in. I don't want to part with it. But it's going to strand us on the side of the road one of these days. So we'd been talking about maybe we need to buy a new vehicle. Well, Scott loves Hummers. He's always loved Hummers. And he had a Hummer years ago when the kids were really little. We bought a Hummer. We had it for a couple of years. Because of what our jobs were then, the gas mileage wasn't conducive, the car seats were a nightmare in it, and we finally decided that it wasn't the car for us at that time. So he sacrificed his Hummer, like a lot of, you know, dads do with the car that they want versus the car that they need when you have littles. So we've come full circle and went back to a Hummer. I mean, it's older, it has to be able to have one. Because they haven't made Hummers in quite a while, but we found a beautiful blue one in Utah that only had 100,000 miles on it. And we went and bought it. So we have a new car. And he is in absolute heaven. So I'm thrilled. Scott has sacrificed a lot over the years for his family. And I'm super excited that he gets to have the car he wants now. And we are bouncing around in that thing, man. Saturday was his birthday. And we went everywhere. In fact, we went back to the wildlife park. Remember when I went to the wildlife park on my birthday? Well, we drove past. I like to just drive past every so often. You can see the foxes through the fence. So we drove past to see, because I wanted to see how they're starting to look, because you know they're getting all bulked up for winter, right? So I just wanted to see what they're looking like now. And oh my gosh, they did not disappoint. The wolves, I'm not kidding, are twice as thick as they were when we saw them last. The bears are babies and they have grown a ton. And my gosh, the foxes, you guys. The foxes are so cute. They're so sweet. I'm going to share a whole bunch of pictures here in a few minutes, but anyway, I absolutely love foxes. And these guys, the whole reason that they started this park was to help with a breeding program for foxes. So they also love foxes. And they knew a guy, an older guy that was getting ready to retire, that needed to retire. He was quite elderly. And he had been working on preserving all of the different colors and color combos of foxes in the United States. They're actually all red foxes, but red foxes actually come in something like 42 different color variants. So anyway, they ended up taking over his breeding program. And so they've had all these foxes. And then in order to create outdoor sanctuaries for them, they had to follow all of these rules from the fish and game, you know, obviously for obvious reasons. But once they started developing their property, it made sense for them to become a refuge for more than just the foxes. So that's what they did. But anyway, we went there on Saturday and it was super fun. Just so exciting to get to see. And yes, all of the animals have pretty much doubled in size. The foxes' tails now are absolutely enormous because, you know, they're fluffing up for winter. They also have added reindeer. I don't think I got a good picture of the reindeer. It looked to me like maybe they were in kind of a temporary space while they were getting ready for more, you know, or to like what they're going to do with them. I'm assuming there's going to be some kind of a Christmas display going on with the reindeer. I would think at least that that's what they're going to do. But I'll try and post some of these in the chat room too. I really wish Facebook would make it easier to share pictures in the chat in groups. You can't share like a whole bunch of pictures at once. And I know I bitched about this before, but it's really annoying. But all of the baby foxes and the baby wolves that we got to pet last time that they had in the barn that were separated from the adults, they're all now in with the adults and you can't even tell. I'm sure the owners can, you know, I'm sure they can go out there and be like, oh no, this is one of the babies, that's one of the babies. But just for me as a, you know, a person that doesn't know, you would not know. Okay, just putting a couple more pictures in the chat for you guys. It's rude to leave you out. Let me get a couple of pictures of the wolves in there. See, the wolves this summer, I mean, honestly, they just looked like dogs. And they were like, well, yeah, because they don't have their winter coats on. They are, you know, very, very similar to dogs. Okay. All right, I'm going to show you pictures from... This is a red fox that's brown and white. Look at the size of that tail. They did not look like this summer at all. Their coats were much, much thinner, and they didn't have these giant tails. Look at this red fox sleeping in the leaves. Isn't that beautiful? Oh my God, I love them. That's another red fox. Pure white. And more. There's a red fox. Well, they're both red foxes, but there's a real red one there and a black one too. Okay, from their white bison herd. I know, they don't look completely white, but this is what a white bison looks like. Isn't he pretty? And then they're bears. Their bears are Eurasian bears. Essentially, Eurasian bears and grizzly bears are kind of the same thing, but they come from a little different area. But the bears are so pretty. And look how much they have fattened up. From my pictures this summer to now, these two have fattened up a ton. And then the wolves. I had a hard time getting really good pictures of the wolves because one of the owners came through on a four-wheeler just cutting through there to go to another spot, and the wolves love him. So as soon as they saw him, they totally left us and flocked to him. So I didn't get as good of a look or pictures of the wolves as I would have liked to. And then they have this really unique elk. They have a female that sprouted a horn in the middle of her forehead, which is super, super rare. And it's still in velvet too, which is wild because their bull elk is not in velvet any longer. She shouldn't be, but she also shouldn't have this horn. So who knows? But they don't know if she'll drop that horn at some point or if it's just going to continue to grow, or they have no idea what's going to happen with the horn. They're just observing it. But this is their bull. He has an absolutely enormous rack. And you can see he's not in velvet at all. But she still is. Anyway, so that's my trip to the wildlife park. Just an impromptu, hey, we're here, let's ride through. And it was super fun. I don't know, Sid. She said, does their tail fluff out like that so they can use it like a blanket in cold weather? I'm going to think so. Yeah. Yeah, that they wrap up in that. I did get to pet a wolf baby. Yeah. And a fox baby. And a bison baby. Mm-hmm. The bears were really animated. They're pretty close to the road. Like, I'll be honest, their safety with their bears, I'm not sure what to think. but we'll take it, because you get really close to them. And they were just waiting for us. They were hamming it up, putting on a show, wrestling, playing. Oh my gosh. The bears were really fun. All right. So anyway, that's how I spent my weekend. We're calling the magazine this week the All Hallows Eve edition, because Halloween's coming up this week, of course. Wrapping up this month of Samhain celebrations we've had here at Luminous and here on the show. So what I did for my musings this week is I put together four different very easy spells. If you're feeling witchy, not just this time of year, but any time, here's a few ideas for you. So the spell for abundance. What you'll need is a small bowl of salt. It does not have to be Himalayan. It doesn't have to be iodized or non-iodized or coarse or not. It's just salt. Just whatever salt you have and want to use. Don't make this crazy. You can if you want to, but you don't have to. Any coin. It just represents wealth, so it could be a penny, it could be a nickel, it could be a silver dollar, I don't care, just a coin. You could also use a bill if you would rather. A green candle, green candles attract growth and abundance. You could also add a gold one if you want to, or just use a gold one if you want to, because that also represents and brings abundance. And then an abundance essential oil like mint or frankincense. Mint particularly attracts abundance and wealth, but frankincense is a very posh oil as well. Or something else that speaks of abundance to you is fine. So to set the scene, find a quiet spot where you can get comfortable and grounded. Silence your phone. Tell everyone to leave you alone for a few minutes so that you can just do your thing. Light the candle and diffuse your oils, or wear a little bit of it. You could rub a little on your candle if you want. Then you're going to clear out the old. So hold the salt bowl in your hand and imagine it pulling away any feelings of scarcity or lack. Imagine those feelings melting into the salt, leaving your mind open for receiving. You can even hold the bowl up to your mouth and speak into the salt the things that you want to clear out. Then you're going to speak your intent. So place the coin next to the candle, close your eyes, and say, like this flame, may my life glow with more than enough to help me grow. Abundance flows in like water clear. What I need and more is always near. and then visualize your abundance. Just sit with this scene for a few minutes and envision what abundance looks like to you. Perhaps it's financial security or a fulfilling new job or a cozy home or a thriving garden or the car that you need or enrollment into school or a billion other things, right? You know what you need and want. It's okay to want. Imagine that flowing to you, filling you up with warmth and gratitude. And then you seal the spell with gratitude. Never forget how powerful an attitude of gratitude is when you are trying to attract. It's one of the most important pieces. So finish by saying thank you, thank you, thank you. Three, the power of three when we're talking about doing spell work is really important because three triples the gratitude. It triples the intention. So that helps to set the energy in motion. And then let the candle burn completely down if you can. If not, snuff it out if you need to. Either way, but I am a big fan of using chime candles and letting them burn all the way down. Okay. And then moving on to a spell for deepening psychic abilities. If you feel like your intuition is always kind of on the cusp but isn't breaking through the way you'd like to, or if you feel like your intuition is sound asleep, this is a great spell for just stepping yourself up on the next rung of the ladder, wherever you are. You're meeting yourself where you are. You're going to want a purple candle. Purple represents psychic awareness and spiritual insight. A small mirror for reflection and insight. A piece of amethyst or clear quartz. And lavender or rosemary oil. Both of them are good to support psychic clarity. So, to cast this one, again, prepare your space. Find a peaceful, quiet place where you can settle. You're going to light the candle, and you're going to dab a little of that oil on your temples. You can put a little on your candle, too, if you want to. As you're doing that, imagine your mind calming, like still water, ready to reflect whatever comes through. This is a good spot too to just sit and breathe for a few minutes. Just be very aware of your in-breath and your out-breath. You don't have to get fancy with it, but just breathe and focus on breath. It's a good way to help settle into what you're doing. Then you're going to focus on the mirror. So hold the mirror in front of you and look into your own eyes for a few moments. This can be remarkably hard for people. One time I was in a women's group and I was asked to bring some kind of a brief activity that would help women to connect to themselves. And I brought a mirror. And I thought, this is a great time for a little bit of easy mirror work. So it's just a hand mirror. And I just handed it to the group and I said, we're going to do this twice. I just want you to look yourself in the eye and say something kind to yourself. Because we're so programmed to be kind to other people. And unfortunately, we seem to be a bit programmed to be unkind to ourselves. I had no idea what that would trigger in that group. And these were women I'd worked with a lot of times. The tears that were shed, the people who stared in that mirror for a long time before they were able to utter any kind word to themselves, I was shocked. And I realized that more of my work needed to center around helping women and men to learn how to love and accept themselves, to meet themselves where they are. So when you pull that mirror up and you look yourself in the eye, if that is a little hard to do, it's okay. That's fine. Keep doing it. As you look in your own eyes, let any thoughts drift away, just clearing your mind as much as possible. Then you can sit the mirror down and place your amethyst or your clear quartz on the mirror. Close your eyes and say, insight clear, intuition deep. Open the door to what's beneath. Inner knowing I trust to grow. Reveal the truth I seek to know. And then visualize psychic clarity. Picture a purple light around your forehead, around your third eye, getting brighter and more focused. Imagine this light opening and clearing the path for intuitive thoughts, signs, or feelings. And then express your gratitude. Finish by saying, I am open, I am clear, I trust my inner sight. When you're ready, take a deep breath, snuff out your candle or let it burn all the way down, and put the stone somewhere close to where you sleep so it can continue to help working on you. That's simple enough, right? I really like that one, though. All right, a spell for attracting daily magic. I know that some of us see, sense, and feel the magic around us all the time. It keeps us a little distracted. Might also be known as being ADHD as hell. But we sense the magic around us. I also know that some of us don't and want to and wish that we were more in tune with everything going on around us. You know, if you felt everything that was going on inside your body all the time, you probably wouldn't be able to function. You might be in immense pain, but you might also just feel very, very distracted. If you very cognizantly felt every beat of your heart and every movement of your lungs, every respiration, and felt your blood flowing through your body, felt your nervous system making changes, felt your endocrine system making changes, you may end up so distracted that you wouldn't be able to focus on anything else. So as you're born, these are things that your body is just very, very used to. So you rarely feel them. Sometimes your heart might thump particularly hard and you feel it and you're kind of surprised, even though you shouldn't be because that's literally happening all the time. But maybe you do. Sometimes your stomach does a little gurgle or makes some kind of movement or motion that you are aware of, right? And it does grab your attention. But for the most part, you don't feel your body functioning. Because you're so used to it, because it's what it has literally always done since the very first breath you took. It's not something that your focus is on. Because it doesn't have to be. And I think that we operate that way on more levels than you realize. I think that there's a lot going on around us all the time that we remain quite unaware of. Because if you were aware of all of it, you would be very distracted. It would be hard to function. And I think that because as babies, we're born more aware of what's going on around us. As we get older, we get more numb to it and we're taught to focus on more specific things. And I think, this is just my personal opinion, but I think this is why we become kind of immune to the magic around us too. And again, there's nothing scientific about that. It's simply my observation. So, if you would like to attract more daily magic, to experience more daily magic, you're going to need a small charm or trinket. It could be a little stone, a shell, anything you can carry with you easily. It could also be a pendant that you're planning on wearing. You need a pinch of sugar or cinnamon for sweetness and warmth. You need, or both if you'd rather, a white candle to invite pure positive energy. So to cast this one, set up your space. And by the way, if you typically cast a circle to do these spells. You don't have to. And if it's not something you've done before or don't want to do, or that's getting altogether too witchy, then don't. But if you do usually cast a circle, then by all means do that. All right. So, find a cozy spot where you won't be interrupted. Light the white candle, breathing deeply to settle into the moment. I'm going to try to shut my door again. I apologize for problematic dogs today. Okay. You're going to bless your charm. So hold your charm in your hand and sprinkle it lightly with sugar or cinnamon or both, saying, charm in hand, magic near, bring small wonders, joy, and cheer. Everyday magic, big or small, I'm open and ready to catch it all. Then visualize the magic flowing in. Picture yourself moving through your day with sparkles of magic following you. Little surprises, synchronicities, and joyful moments lighting up your path. And finish with gratitude. Thank the energy around you for its support. Snuff out the candle and carry the charm with you throughout the day. This is your little magic magnet, reminding you to stay open to the wonder around you. And then ask your guides to help you to notice the magic around you. And then do it. You know the old saying, take time to smell the roses? It applies here. Yeah. And then lastly, a spell to remove negative people and situations. Sometimes in spirituality, we've been led to believe that you have to take the high road. You have to be the bigger person. You have to allow nonsense. No, you don't. You can choose you. It's a good policy to be kind. Of course it is. But that doesn't mean that you can't have boundaries on what's allowed in your space and in your life. Right? Please know that. I have worried for years that the New Age movement, the spirituality movement, may have set women up to stay in domestic violence or in bad situations because of their soulmate or because of their belief that they attracted this person or because of the belief that you have to be kind at all times and all things. Listen, no, you fucking don't. Be nice. Please be nice. Be kind. But be kind to yourself too. And if there are people, things, situations in your world that are clearly unhealthy for you, that are tearing you down, that are bad for your world, you don't hesitate to do the things you need to do to take care of you. Please. All right. I taught you before how to do the freezing spell, which is very simple to freeze people out, and it's really effective. But here's a little bigger spell. This is not because we wish ill will on other people. Understand that. When you do work like this, this is where people get scared. They get nervous. They're like, is this bad karma? Am I going to attract something terrible? No. Because you're not asking for ill will on another. That's not what we're doing here. It's not the goal of the spell. The goal of the spell is to restore your peace, right? We're not asking for someone to get hit by a bus. We're asking them to move out of your space. There's a difference. And when you do work like this, know the difference, right? So that you are not intending bad for other people, but you are intending good for you. You'll need a black candle for banishing and protection, a small bowl of salt to absorb negativity, a feather or small fan to symbolize fresh positive energy coming in, and a piece of paper and a pen. So to cast this one, set your intent. Light the black candle in a calm, quiet space. Take a few breaths to center yourself. Again, breath work is really, really helpful here. Visualizing a calm, clear space around you. Name what no longer serves you. Write down names or situations that you feel like you're ready to release on the paper. Picture each one as a weight that's gently lifting off of you as you write. Then release it. So to do that, fold the paper and hold it over the salt, or put it in the salt if you'd prefer. And say, with peace and strength, I let this go. What drains and blocks, I won't allow. only good and light shall stay. All else, like smoke, drifts far away. Clear the energy. Burn the paper in a safe way. If you can't, you can rip it up. But if you put your salt in, it's just a little bit of salt, but if you put your salt in a heat-safe bowl, then you can just light your paper and toss it in the bowl and let it burn down. But you do what's right for you. Then use the feather or fan to gently wave fresh energy up around you, as if sweeping away the old to make way for something better. And end with gratitude. Thank the energy around you for supporting this clearing, then snuff out the candle. Discard the salt outside or down the sink to symbolically remove any lingering negativity. And that is how you do it. Simple enough, right? You could do any of these spells anytime you want, obviously, and please feel free to freestyle. Your intention is king, right? We're falling back on your intention and on the power of the universe to put together some good in your life. That's the point. So if you want to freestyle with that and change up what I have written out, that's fine. There's no wrong answer. Just remember that piece, right? That we're not intending ill will for other people. We're just intending good for ourselves. We're all in charge of that for ourselves, right? Yeah. Okay. Kelly's article this week are about the badass goddesses of Samhain. And again, it's so damn good. Kelly is on fire these days. Her researching skills are off the chain. And her writing skills, too. So be sure that you read this. It's awesome. Another great article matching the season. And I loved it. So thank you, Kel. All right. My tip this week is the Wiccan Read. This is exactly what we were just discussing, but I wanted to introduce it to you. The Wiccan Read is, it's longer than this, but this is the most important piece. And it harm none, do you do what ye will. And it harm none, do what ye will. What does that mean? Well, obviously, it means don't harm other people. And as long as you're not harming others, not just people, the earth, any being on this earth, as long as you're not harming others, do what's right for you. It doesn't have to be popular. It doesn't have to be what's right for other people. It doesn't have to make sense, and you don't have to explain it. But do the things that are right for you. Just don't harm others in the process. Okay. I went with this crazy cover this week because I think that the old-fashioned, the old-time Halloween costumes are so hilarious and terrifying. Can you imagine slapping this on your kids and sending them out? Oh, they're so great. Christy brings us a sacred journey of the heart. Great meditation to do to just reconnect to your own heart energy. Over at True Crime Squad, a lot going on. The Delphi trial is going on right now. This is one of those instances where I feel like they have the wrong person on trial and that Richard Allen's rights have been terribly, terribly violated in this case. And we're continuing to watch it really closely. Even if he is guilty, his rights have been violated terribly. And I'm going to tell you guys how important it is that we demand that everyone's rights in our country are upheld. Everyone. Whether you think they're guilty or not, we have to insist that the law is followed, that the Constitution is followed, because it could be you. It could be your family member. It could be someone that you care about. Right? So this isn't really what this show is about, but it's just always the reminder that by God, everyone's rights matter in our country. Everyone's. And we should be demanding that all people's rights are upheld here in the U.S. I know you're not all here in the U.S., but it's just as important in your countries. Okay. That's lots of good meditations over at Planet Meditation. Some nice fall ones. You can find those over there. And that's it for Luminous this week. So I hope you found some gems in there that helped you out, give you some ideas at least. I've said this a lot of times, but this time of year, we are certainly in a spot where a lot of us feel the need to do something, you know, you feel the need to do some kind of ceremony or something. So I hope I gave you some ideas of some things that you can easily do and do yourself and do indoors, because a lot of times, a lot of ceremony and stuff kind of calls for going outside, and that's just not possible for everybody, right? Not everyone can be out howling at the moon at 2 a.m. in their backyard or whatever, right? So some easier indoor solitary kinds of things I think are important. Okay, so here comes my soapbox. Are you registered to vote? I know in some states it's probably too late now. In Idaho, you can register at the ballot box, but some of you have already voted, some of you have not. My friends, vote. I don't care how you vote. That's not my job. I'm not here to tell you how to vote, but I am going to tell you something. Nobody knows how you voted. Nobody but you. You don't have to vote according to what your husband wants, what your church wants, what your parents want, what your neighborhood wants. When you go in that ballot box, it is only you. And you don't have to tell anybody how you voted. Your vote belongs to you. It's a precious commodity here in the U.S. And unfortunately, a lot of people don't even use it. It's a very important right and responsibility. But for women especially, when we actually have people this cycle saying that they would like for women to stop voting, that they think voting should only go to the head of the household, who's clearly a man. Women, vote. Vote. Please vote. But just a quick reminder on that, right? Nobody knows how you voted. So you vote your own heart. You vote your own conscience. This isn't anybody else's right to tell you how to vote, in case you wondered, or that's a thing for you. But that is always my push. It's always, always going to be my platform is to vote. Please vote. I've already voted. I voted last week. So my vote is already done and dusted. We did absentee because our kids are all registered to vote here, but they live, you know, on the other side of the state. Still as students. A couple of them aren't really students anymore, but, you know, I think young adults are always kind of pseudo students. And so we did absentee. Last time we were there, they filled out their ballots, sent them home with us. Scott and I filled out ours, and we dropped them all off at the ballot box. So we are done. And no one is burning our ballots. That's terrifying to see that happening in other communities. But I will do something to get us through next week, I promise. I'm thinking about it, Lillianne. Absolutely. Absinthe for sure. I bought some fancy absinthe in Jackson Hole recently at this really cool whiskey store. I've been dying to break it out. So maybe so. At any rate, that's it. That's Luminous this week. So, as always, I want to thank you for being here. I want to remind you that I am a professional psychic advisor over at 12listen.com. And you can find me over there every day doing what I do. If I'm not there and you needed a reading or you needed to connect, just do a callback request. Then the computer sends me a text that says, hey, so-and-so is waiting for you, and I'll do everything I can to get to where I can sign in to help you out. You can also do a scheduled call if you'd rather. That works as well. But please, come and talk to me. I can help you with mediumship, with a psychic reading, with energy work, animal communication, whatever you need. I'll do my best to help you out. I promise. Alrighty. Well, that's it. Happy Halloween. Have fun. Be safe. Be smart. Thanks for being here. I love you guys. This has been yet another production of The Katie Weaver Show here on 12 Radio, where we're changing the way you listen to the world.